Well, how good is God? Hallelujah. Well, let's let the Lord feed us with his revelation. I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to do some English teaching, then some Greek teaching, Hebrew teaching. If you would like to learn an English word, just say amen. All right?
Amen.
All right? All right. If you'd like to learn a Greek word, say amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to learn a Hebrew word, amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Well done. I did it. Did you realize the word amen? I don't get it. <You're right. laughs> What are they talking about? Did anyone know that the word amen, which is an English word, is also a Greek word, amen, which is also a Hebrew word, amen? I'm not sure I know how to pronounce it in English and Hebrew. But it's a transliteration. In other words, it's a word that started in one language and then another language just picked it up and just uses it as their word. And you get that every now and again. Have you ever been watching a foreign film or something like that and you're hearing this and you can't understand anything and then you suddenly hear an English word in the middle of it? You know, da-da-da-da-da, GPS. Da-da-da-da. I'm pretty sure GPS, which is, you know, Global Positioning Satellite or something like that. Is that right? Anyone? Yeah, that's good. GPS. So it's three letters of English origin, but it comes to mean that system that you know, you use your phone to. So other languages just put GPS, even though they might not even have the letters GPS. They might be Chinese characters. They don't have the letters. But they go, da-da-da-da-da, GPS. Da-da-da. And so that's a transliteration. It's just taken a word from one language and put it into another language and just made it, and that becomes our word. So you probably think of other examples that we are speaking in English now, and usually a lot of foods, we might just use the word from another language. We just take that concept or a food or a concept, we pop that in, and it just becomes ours. We just embrace it. Okay, and so we've done that with words like our word for angel is from the Greek word angelos, angelos. We just basically took their word, made it an English word. So that's how we do things. So the Hebrew language had a word amen, and it was the word amen. You don't have to find out what the Hebrew word was. It was amen. They were the original people that said amen. And what did amen mean? It meant so be it. Yes, I'm in agreement. That's right. Amen. This is pretty much what it means in English today. That's it. Amen. Why do we say amen at the end of our prayer? It's because, well, sometimes I don't actually know. We just sort of finish it with amen. It's to let God know to stop listening, I guess. You know, it's like when you're dictating something and amen. Okay, they're finished. That's it. We've got the prayer. Amen. That's how it works. But that's, you know, there's, you know, Psalms. You can go through and find a psalm that says, you know, the Lord is great and he's wonderful. How great is our God? Amen. It sort of just puts the, I'm just in agreement with it. And then it was picked up and it's how the Greek is. Do you know what the last word of the New Testament is? Amen. Yeah, it finishes. Have a look at it, Revelation 22. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. It's just like, yeah, it's just an agreement. Just takes, that's right, that's true, I'm in agreement with it, and so it's a good word. So if I said something like, God is good, everyone goes, amen. You just get an agreement. You're saying, that's true, that's right. You're putting an affirmation on it. You're putting your, yeah, I believe in that. I receive what you're saying. I so be it. Let it happen just like you've prayed. It's just all those things married in there. And then there's a few different books, the letters that were finished with it. The letter, I'll give you an example, I think Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, the end of that, Paul said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." Just, it's like I put it out there. In fact, so I'll tell you this, that they got so excited that it's really good nowadays. They do a thing called textual criticism, which means they don't criticize the text. It means that they gather all the manuscripts and portions of manuscripts and quotations from the last 2,000 years of the New Testament. They put them all together and they work out this is what was the most likely actual text. It's a very, real, very clever and blessed group of people that do this sort of work, and they're pulling out manuscripts from all these ancient places. And what they discovered was pretty much, they're pretty confident, the books of the Bible that had finished with the word amen are the ones that the original authors said amen to because they're in the correct manuscripts. So like Paul finished the book Galatians with amen. And Revelation was finished with John by amen. But what happened is, as time went by, many scribes would copy. So they'd be copying like the book of Matthew. And then guess what they'd do? They'd get to the end of Matthew and they go, amen. And they'd write amen underneath because they're just so excited to finish it. So Mark, at the end of Mark, they wrote amen. And at the end of Luke, they wrote amen. The end of John, they wrote amen. And then the next person's copying it, they're writing down, and it gets to the end, they go, they don't know whether it was the scribe put it in or whether it was actually part of the original text. So if you look in the King James, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all finish with amen, because the scribes just couldn't help themselves saying amen. So they've been able to sort out the ones that actually did finish with amen and the ones that the scribes got in amen. So if you're reading a translation on the New American, see it in Galatians, see it in Revelation, that was actually amen. But they got so excited they put it everywhere. So it's one of the exciting things. Amen. And then, so we've got the New Testament and we have it like in the book of Revelation, the book of Galatians, say amen to that. And then comes Jesus. And he says, well, I'm going to use this a bit differently. In fact, if you look in the book of Revelation chapter 2, when Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea, which must be chapter 3, chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and to the messenger of the church in Laodicea, write this, the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God says this. So this is Jesus' message. Jesus was giving a message where he says, I am the amen. He took this and it just elevated it. He said, I am actually the amen. I am. When I say something, it's the ultimate, there it is. Yeah, it's because it means truth. It means it's saying it's truth. Jesus says, well, I am the ultimate truth. It's the ultimate, I'm in agreement, where Jesus says, I'm the ultimate agreement with God. I am. It's I am the amen. That's who I am. I am the amen. And so he took it to a new level where he said, I am actually this whole concept of, when we say amen, he said, that's like me. I say, let me give you an example. Say, this is just from my heart. It's sort of like, okay, the word of God says God redeems the people. Jesus says, amen. So be it. And then Jesus comes and fulfills it. He actually takes that which is promised and he puts the amen on it, which fulfills it. He actually becomes the fulfillment of that very promise. So he's, I'm like the amen. And how good is that? And so amen was predominantly used at the end of a sentence. It would be if something was to be verified or something to be ratified or something to be agreed with, something to be, say, get excited. So you da-da-da-da-da, amen. And then Jesus comes along and guess what he does? He starts sentences with amen. And you don't start sentences with amen. You finish a sentence with amen. All right, I'm going to start my prayer. Amen. Oh, no, no. The angel's like, we're confused now. Have we missed it? Was no one listening? You meant to finish the amen. You do your prayer and then you say, amen. He said, Jesus comes along and he starts all these sentences with amen. Now, if you're reading the King James, you won't know that he's saying amen because it translated King James. The King James translated the word amen, which you didn't need to translate because it's an English word. But because it's not in the place that people expect it, people didn't know how to use it. And it's like, if I put it there, they'll think we've skipped something. So they use the word verily. So whenever you see the King James, verily, verily, I say unto you, he's saying, amen, I say unto you. And then he did something, and John picked up on this. He'd start things with, amen, amen, I say unto you. So that's why the King James gets, verily, verily, I say unto you. So he put it at the front, and then he doubled it up at the front. As I, and then the King James managed to make it using a word that no one uses. I don't know whether you've used the word verily much recently. Verily, verily, I say unto you, clean up your room. I think that's probably the place, you know. Okay, so let's take the verily out. Let's put it back to amen. But most of the English translations won't even use amen because it just doesn't make sense to people to see it at the front of a sentence. So they put another phrase there, so it'll be truly. And so in modern, truly, truly, I say unto you. And but you know what it did to me? It just became noise. Yeah. And you know what I heard Jesus saying is, I'm not lying to you. And then speak. That's what I heard. I'm not lying to you this. And I was like, when you think about it, why would he even lie? Why does he need to say, I'm not lying? So truly, truly, to me, was just like, if someone comes up, truly, they start, well, I might tell a few, I might not always tell the truth, but you can believe this one. All right, if someone starts off a sentence with truly, you know that they're not joking, you know that they're not stretching it, but it means that at other times they might tell you something that you don't believe. So you've got to use truly to differentiate the times when you don't truly. So you say truly. So every time I heard Jesus say truly, I'm using it like we would use truly. And therefore, I'm like, well, I know you're telling me the truth, so I sort of ignore the statement. And I missed what he was doing. I didn't get it. But what he's saying is, this is how I see it. This is my understanding, all right? You're going to want to say amen to this, so I'm telling you now. I'm giving you the clue to open your ears, open your eyes, and listen to this. Amen is coming. I'm speaking something which is this is right, this is true, this is real. I am actually giving you the warning or giving you the alertness. Look, here it comes. And I can actually add my phone because I need to quote something here. This is from the Zodi Hadis Greek dictionary, my favorite Greek dictionary for the Bible words. Yeah, Christine's too. She always says, I love Zodi Hadis. Actually, I can still remember the day that someone told me about this Bible dictionary about 15, 20 years ago. I was like, it was a good day. Someone said, have you got this Bible dictionary? I said, no, I never heard of it. He said, well, you want this Bible dictionary. Show it to me. Changed my life. It was a great book. The things I get excited about, I know Christine says, yeah, she's not excited because she's had it forever. She's like, oh, didn't you know about that dictionary?
I wrote it.
You did not write it. That's truly, truly. Yeah, we're not going to say amen to that one. Chris, if you can't hear online, my wife just said, she wrote it. No, she did not. Because it's called the Zodi Hadis because that's the name of the guy who wrote it, all right? That's how it got its name. You know, I think Yeah, pseudonym. She's her. Just be very careful. I don't. When lightning comes to strike those who are telling falsehoods, I don't want to be too close. All right. So. All right. Okay, so this is from the Zohar Hadith Word Study Dictionary. It says in the Old Testament, it's used often at the end of the sentence, so it's meant to be that which confirms. So that's, and in the New Testament, it's used in the same word as an affirmation of truth. In the entire New Testament, only the Lord Jesus uses amen at the beginning of a sentence as a word of affirmation. So he affirms before he speaks. And throughout the Gospel of John, the word Jesus uses the word amen doubled. Amen, amen, I say unto you. Or as King James, verily, verily, say unto you. And this is how he says, which could be rendered, amen, listen to this, okay? This is Zohar Hadith speaking. Which could be rendered, I who am the amen, truth itself, tell you as a most certain and infallible truth. Wow. Isn't that good? So when he says amen, amen, he's saying, I who am the amen, truth itself, tell you as a most certain and infallible truth. And then he goes on to say it. So every time you see amen, amen, that's the time to listen. Embrace, get ready to get into agreement with it. Amen is our response to something to say, I'm in agreement with this. I see it's true. I'm not making it true. I'm saying it's true to me because I receive its truth. It becomes my truth. I'm saying amen to it, which means, yeah, I want to see that. I'm putting my agreement with this truth and I'm aligning myself. I'm not making it powerful because I'm getting my agreement. It's making me powerful because I'm getting in agreement with it. I'm not making the word, well, it's powerful because I agree with it. No, it's making me powerful because I agree with the word. I'm amen. I amen that. So you should use the word amen, not frivolously, but on purpose. Amen. Amen. I agree with that. I receive that. I believe that. You know, amen. I receive that. Amen, amen. You know, in the book of Acts, right near the end, I think it's chapter 26, which is 28. Yeah, right near the end, Acts 28, verse 23, it's when Paul has been taken to Rome, and when they take him to Rome, they said, we don't really know what he's doing here. He sort of appealed to Caesar, so we had to send him. And when he gets there, verse 23 says, when they had set a day for him, they came to him his lodging in large numbers. This is the Jewish leaders. Because they said, we don't know about you. They haven't sent any letters from Jerusalem. We don't know what the complaint is. Who are you? We don't have any thing upset with you. So they came to him for Paul to explain what he was doing there and what all the reasoning was. And when they had set a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God, and he was trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. And it was from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. So he is giving them the sermon of sermons to bring them from a point where they see that the Old Testament... See, up until that point, there was no Old Testament and New Testament. To them, it was just Testament. Yeah. You got to realize it's a big transition to suddenly make your Testament the old one and transition to the new one. This is the switch. But this is the Messiah that they've been studying about, the Messiah that they've been hearing about, saying, here he is, and this is who he is, and now you can believe in him. So for all morning and night, this is the Apostle Paul. Surely he would convince them. The prophets and the law of Moses. Verse 24, some were being persuaded by the things spoken. Some were, amen. Some said amen to that. But the others would not believe. Not could not believe, but would not believe. They said, we're not giving up our whole lifestyle. Because, you know, I'm a big man in this Old Testament. Now I have to come in from the ground up. I'm not going to leave some of the things I've done, of who I am, and there's a lot to give up here, and they would not believe. But that tells me that faith is both being convinced of something, but also a choice we make. It's not just being overwhelmed by truth. We also have to be willing and obedient to that to say, I receive it, I believe it. It's a heart attitude, not just it's so real. That's why you can, you know, people say, what's the best evidence you can give? Well, you can never give enough evidence because some people will choose not to believe because it's not just about whether something's real or not. It's also about a switch from who's Lord of your life. To embrace this is also to receive a death sentence to self. It's not just about the truth. It's about the consequences. And some people are saying, I don't care how true it looks. I am not going down that path. So they will then find fault with the truth when the reality, it's a heart issue that they're battling. They refuse the truth because of what the truth will mean. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't do our best to explain. You know, it talks about here about giving reason and understanding, so we make it easy. But there's no amount of explanation that will make everybody be able to receive it because some people will just choose not to receive it. But it also taught me that I need to focus on who is the truth and trust him and then receive everything he says automatically. So I don't weigh up everything that Jesus says to see whether it's truth because I have discovered that he is true. And he is faithful and he is reliable. In fact, he is the amen. So I have put my trust in him. And therefore, everything he says, I say amen to quickly and freely. And I choose to believe it because he said it. And he's trustworthy and he's reliable. I'm choosing to trust him. Therefore, his words are an overflow of that personal trust. So I want to give you an example where this all started in the book of Mark, chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. So Jesus, when I say it all started, where it all started for me. And Jesus sat down opposite the treasury, began observing how the multitude were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. I like to say we don't keep an eye on what you give, but Jesus does. You know, right? We don't keep a record of what people give, but Jesus does. And I'm not saying that in the guilt way. I'm not saying no one sees it because Jesus went and sat right down there at the front row to watch what people were giving. Okay. How exciting that be. This Sunday, we'll have an offering bucket and I will sit here. And... Had a good week, brother? So people putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. That's nothing. Nothing especially compared to the big amounts. And calling his disciples to him, he said, Amen. What's that tell you? Wow. Spiritual alert. Amen. Amen. What's he going to do? He's going to say, here is a situation that you might think you know and understand, but I'm going to tell you the truth about it. I'm going to make this. You might think you understand what's happening here, but now I am going to tell you the truth. Wow. And he said, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors. And it doesn't say it here, but I know it. One, Judas Iscariot, who is the treasurer, goes, what? That doesn't sound right. I've been standing here, because if Jesus is standing here, we're all standing behind him. We've been watching. He said, she put in more. He goes, what? She just put in two little coins. I've seen them pour in the mouth. He could say, no, that's not true. That's not right. That's not correct. Because I can tell you how much. Do you want to see that?
Yeah,
but what did he start with? Amen.
Wow.
He started with amen. He said, amen.
Wow.
Amen. I'm going to tell you truth. And then when he told them truth, it flew in the face of what they were observing.
Yeah. Wow,
thank God he makes sense of what we were seeing.
Yeah.
This world is trying to tell us things. And he comes and says, amen, I'll tell you truth.
Yeah.
I will tell you what the world is really like. I'll tell you what this is. I'll tell you why we do things. I'll tell you why this is happening in the world. Amen. 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 He tells me what this, he gives me an insight. He is giving, but that's an invitation for me to receive this truth, which is going to fly in the face maybe of observed truth or your experienced truth or your cultural truth. It's going to fly in the face of other truths. He said, I'm giving you the truth from the amen. Now, this is not the one where he says amen, amen, because that's in the book of John, all right? But it is an amen. He said, amen, I'm going to tell you this. This widow put in way more than everyone else combined. But thank God, then he explained why. Because if he just left it, seriously, if he left it there, people would be arguing forever. What did he mean? Because what he said was, you know, what he obviously meant was that he had, she'd come and given a lot of money earlier, or, do you know what I mean, or over a lot, added up all over a lot. No, he told, then he said, I'll explain why. It's percentages. Those people have given out of an excess, and they didn't even notice the giving. And why were they making a show of doing it? It's because they wanted people to see it. So they're pouring out big amounts, but it means nothing to them. And in fact, it's got no impact on them. It's not even touching the edges of what they do. But it's just for show. He said, this woman's given everything. And that's why God says that is worth, that giving is way more than all that giving. That's the truth. That's the amen statement about this. It's, he says, this is real. What you think you've seen is not real. He's given now a choice. He's given now a new perspective. He is making sense of what we are seeing with now God's perspective and God's truth on this. Amen. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to show you what's happening really in your life. He wants to show you what the reality is, what the amen is. This is why we need the word of God. This is why we need what Jesus said. Jesus said, amen, I say to you. That's why we need to hear what he says. Because that's where the amen comes from. That's where the truth comes from. Now, our job is to get to the end of it and say, amen. We now get into agreement with it. We say, amen. Amen to that. Amen to what you say. Amen to what you have called us to do. Amen to this word. Amen. Yeah. Take up my cross and follow me. Amen. Love your neighbor. Amen. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. You know he said that, don't you? If your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. Everyone's not shut down. They're only messing with me. I don't know whether to say amen to this or not. You know what the response is? Amen. Now help me understand it.
Yeah, that's good.
Your response is amen because Jesus said it.
Yeah, that's good.
And then it's, now help me.
Yeah.
But you don't have to convince me. You just have to help me. Because I'm quick to amen. Even the stuff that just messes with me. Do you know what I mean? Even the stuff that is, that doesn't sound like it's right, but he said it, so amen. I position myself straight away into the agreement mode, but then I pray for understanding. Then I pray, Lord, how does this actually outwork in my life? How does this move? You know, we're doing our life group at the moment is working through the things that John said in his letter that just make new, you know, make head pop a little bit. You know, so you know, like you know, no, you know, if you sin, you're not in. And we're like, oh no, you know, because I'm the only one in that group that. No, you know, we all read those things, you know, and we say that, but we know what our positioning, our starting position is. Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
And then because we've said amen, we are getting such good revelation how this actually works and how this is manifest and how this works. For just to anyone who's still working out about the cut off the hand and the pop the eyes thing. Okay. I can tell you that was never intended to be done physically because there is no indication of any disciple or any teaching from that point on that they did it physically.
Yeah.
So it tells me that when Jesus said that, they didn't have a hand chopping off session later or an eye gouging out session later. It was meant to be a statement of such extreme that it was designed to deal with the heart issue. All right? It's meant to say, go to any extent you need to do to sort this out because it's going to damage you. And so it's that. You know, I was thinking before, you know, when Caitlin came and she said, in this section, there's freedom. Word of Lord, how many loved the moving of the Spirit this morning? How good was the boldness and the flowing in the Spirit? Now, you might have someone sitting over in this section saying, what about us? What about us? You know, I could do with some freedom. I really need some freedom. You know what? If you were in this section and you said, I could do with some freedom, you know what you should have done? Moved.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking.
Yeah.
If you needed freedom,
yeah,
get up and sit over there. Because
so
you're just hungry for it. You just do what it takes.
Yeah.
You do what's needed.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and say, oh, I wish they prayed for my section. That's not how it works. That's the heart of what Jesus was saying. You just do what you need to do to get to that point. But you don't have to actually gouge. But if you listen to that going, well, that doesn't sound a bit weird, and put the block in, when you can convince me of that, I might get in agreement. Wrong attitude. You come and you say, the amen has said this, so I am getting into agreement with it. Now I might need some revelation as to how to do it. But I tell you what, once you get in agreement, the Holy Spirit can guide you and give you revelation. And you might have to dig. You know, one of the things we say in Breakthrough Academy every Friday morning, you know, wisdom is a treasure you got to dig for at times.
Yeah.
It doesn't just sit nicely on top. You know, every now and again you find some great treasure is just sitting on the top. But most of the diamonds, in fact, I would say in this room, every diamond that hasn't been manufactured in a laboratory, which they do now, but every diamond that is a genuine diamond that's on any ring or any piece of jewelry has not been found on the surface.
Yeah.
Anyone who's wearing a diamond ring, your diamonds were not found on the surface. Someone had to dig and mine and go deep for them. And the wisdom of God is not something that just sits on the top at times. You've got to... Now, praise God, doesn't mean there's nothing on the top. You know, the big gold nuggets have been found sitting on the surface. People have found gems. But the majority, 99.99%, are not just sitting on the surface, are they? And that's like wisdom. Some of the things just come. But you know what? You've got to start with the position and the attitude that says, amen.
Amen.
When he says amen, I say amen. And then I say, now show me how this works. Let this is my truth. Now work it through me. I'm going to be diligent to put this to me. So what do you say to this message this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And if you do that, you'll get such a good picture of what the world is. And this book describes what you experienced during this week. It makes sense of the world we're in. It explains what God wants for you, describes and gives you the information about what he wants you to be living in and the benefits and the privileges, but the challenges that you'll face and how to dig in deep. It'll give you that which will provide the weaponry to overcome the enemy. It's in here, and we got to come with the amen attitude to it. It's the amen that makes our sword, the word of God, powerful. If you don't say amen to the word, it becomes not a sword. You say, well, you can convince me of that, God. No, amen. Amen. Let's stand.